Our Father, we pray that as we come to study your holy word, you will impress it on our hearts and reveal it in our lives. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today, the church designates as Bible Sunday, when we particularly thank God for the gift of his holy word. We reflect on it, what it is, and the responsibility we have in preaching it. And this morning I'm turning to the epistle for Bible Sunday, which would have come from Paul's second letter to Timothy. And Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man he's nurtured to take over from him as Paul nears the end of his life. But Timothy is a timid man, and he's overawed by the hostility being shown towards the Christian faith. And so Paul is anxious to give him confidence and encouragement, and he tells him, continue in what you have learned and come to believe of in the scriptures. Paul tells him, they're able to make you wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the only way to salvation. Well, Timothy was brought up in a Jewish background, and so he would be taught the scriptures from an early age by his mother and grandmother. And it was customary for Jewish boys to be taught the scriptures from the age of 5. And whilst these would have been the Old Testament, Timothy had also been taught by Paul and Peter, who between them had written most of the New Testament. And so he would have, in fact, virtually the whole Bible as we know it in his knowledge. And there's a great tragedy in the fact that our children are growing up here without ever hearing the stories of Jesus, or the main biblical characters, as parents don't have the time, the inclination, or the knowledge to help them. And if you take that in addition to the omission of religious teaching in certainly state schools, and a great part of their education has gone missing. And the education secretary of government, if he was to give a little more attention to the teaching of religious education, perhaps pressing less sexual education on children, we may have a lot less juvenile problems. But if you compare that with the faiths in the children in other faiths' homes, Muslim children are faithfully taught the Quran, and they'll never allow their holy book to be abused in the way that our Bible is. And similarly, in Jewish homes, where children are again taught about Judaism. And then Paul affirms God's active involvement in the writing of Scripture. An involvement so powerful and pervasive that what is written is the infallible and authoritative word of God. And he says all Scripture is inspired by God, not just some, all. God chose 40 men, a wide variety of occupations, and using their individual personalities, inspired them to tell exactly what he wanted us to know. And there's no pick and mix option. Biblical integrity demands you accept what is written and not just choose those parts that fit in with what you like to hear. And today, we have academics sitting comfortably in their studies, looking at the scriptures, deciding how to fit in an interpretation which allows for modern morality and culture. And this is intellectual arrogance to imagine that they can accurately understand God's mind more so than those who worked and lived closely with his son and who indeed wrote the very scriptures. The argument that because the Bible was written so many years ago, we can take a different approach to the present day doesn't hold. God was not just the God of the first century, he was the God of all time. And so is his word. We may say that as the prophets and the apostles were inspired by God, these people who adapt the scriptures are inspired by the devil. In some intellectual and academic circles, the Bible is seen as some form of hate literature. And this is being taught in schools, colleges, and universities simply because it doesn't fit in with modern thought. When I was in Scotland this summer, an exhibition was being held in Glasgow. And an open Bible was displayed on a table in the gallery, and people were invited to write what they thought about any passage in the Bible on the Bible. Some very obscene comments were passed. Some evangelical Christians in Glasgow mounted a protest outside, and eventually they were forced to cover the Bible with a glass cover as a consequence of the protest. But there was no protest reported from senior church officials. Can you imagine for just one moment what would have happened if that had been the Quran? The council were challenged to put the Quran alongside the Bible, but of course, with typical cowardice, they refused to do so. And now we come to chapter 4, with the first four verses, which are so relevant to our time. Paul, having stressed the importance of the scriptures, tells Timothy, go and preach them, saying, I give you this charge. And he states this, aware that he does so in the name of God, the Father, and of Christ, who'll judge all people. And the Bible lets it be known that those who preach or teach in the name of Christ will face stricter judgment if they fail because of the responsibility and privilege they have of speaking the truth. And Timothy was meant to view this charge as of the utmost importance. He's told to be ready in any situation to speak the needed word, whether of correction or rebuke. Paul sees the unseen realities before which every Christian lives. And like Timothy, we find ourselves in a minority situation where the majority do not believe, and they live lives which are often steeped in immorality and unworthiness. And if we are to be fair and honest, we would have to admit there is so much in today's society which leaves so much to be desired. I was looking at a newspaper's website recently, and it was one long catalogue of men and women involved in affairs and trying desperate measures to get out, even to the point of murder. Other people, their lives were tormented by unruly youths, and others were engaged in fraud on an enormous scale. And the state of the world proves that all the Bible has taught, and too often we feel we can't speak out with any impact and could do nothing to stop the onrushing tide. Our voice is a whisper amongst the tumult of voices against us, and we can trace the link between moral decline and the rejection of the authority of Scripture. The Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of their own selves, unholy, without natural affection, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There was a time within my generation when people who were not active church members, but nevertheless followed the Christian ethic and lived lives according to Christian morality. But that isn't so now. And if preachers were to so preach the Bible really faithfully, churches would be emptier than they are now. Society has forced a morality upon us which people in and out of the church have been ready to accept, and which the church nationally was never ready to combat. Instead, they let it grow, a sort of attitude, if you can't beat them, join them. And Paul says, people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will find people who will say what pleases them and will turn away from those who teach the truth. He says they'll cover their ears to that which they don't like to admit and refuse to restrain their passions. They have itching ear disease, which they want someone to come and scratch. And the lowering of standards, the rise of lawlessness and promiscuity, combined with the lack of authority from the pulpits, has caused the average person to consider that the church is out of date and the Christian message is irrelevant. And that is why they live without any reference to God or any thought of eternity. Few there are, in or out of the church, who believe in the reality of heaven and hell. And all this causes a problem for parish priests. and especially for visiting preachers like myself. We face a problem, and none more so than those of us who want to be true to Scripture, when not everyone is prepared to accept what's written. So in effect, we have three options open. One is to avoid all contentious issues. Secondly, to go with the flow, say what society wants to hear. Or thirdly, to be true to Scripture. We all want to please and satisfy our audience. I can't imagine anyone wanting to cause offence. But if preachers are to be true to their calling and preach with integrity and honour, there are times when I suppose some people may be upset. And if sadly that happens, there must be doubt in one's mind about the subject. But I hope that doesn't happen this morning. In the present time, when we have legislation being made with laws so distinctly contradictory to Christian teaching, when senior government ministers disparage marriage, despite research constantly revealing it's not only the bedrock of society, but makes a better environment for family life, when public officials are so ready to try and erase Christianity from public life, it is intensely important that we should positively let people know the true message of God's word and identify that which is wrong in life. And so these verses are descriptive of our day, of a society which will forsake the Christian consensus and live not by Christian principles, which lead to health and wholeness of body, mind and spirit, and permit people to live at peace and enjoy their lives, but they'll substitute principles of their own. We are submerged in a world that is committed to falsehood, which is why we must proclaim the truth. If ever the word of God was needed, it is never more so than now. It calls for people to turn back to a God who is ready and able to meet the needs of everyone who turns to him. And the message we have for the world is centered upon the person of Jesus Christ. Within each one of us, there's a need for things which money can't buy and desires which we can't express. And whilst the majority may not be willing to accept it, we all need a spiritual life. We need God, and we need the forgiveness he offers in Christ. And without this, our souls are restless. Many people are like the two British soldiers who found themselves in the deserts of Iraq. They eventually came across a 2-star American general in a jeep. And as they approached him, they didn't even bother to salute and simply blurted out, "Excuse me, mate, can you tell us where we are?" They were obviously from Liverpool. And the general took umbrage at their casual attitude, and he sternly said to them, "Don't you know who I am?" And one of the soldiers turned to the other and said, "Now we are in real trouble. We don't know where we are, and he doesn't know who he is. And neither do we know who we are and why we're here. So we just live for today, and who cares about tomorrow?" And that's how it'll remain, unless there's some communication from the outside, from the one who's made us. But a godless, self-centered life is a fruitless and empty one. Amen.